Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tuesday, Kenyan artist Adam Masava shared pieces of his work and the connection that brought him to South Dakota during his first visit to the United States. Masava is a self-taught artist from Mukuru, and his passion is to change the world through the power of art. Last week, he was in Washington, D.C. for a Seeds of Change art show fundraiser. Seeds of Change is a local nonprofit founded by poet CEO Jeff Broin and his family. And joining us now in the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls, Adam Masava. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
And also from Seeds of Change, co-founder Miranda Broin. Miranda, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks for having us.
Let's start with you, Adam, and tell me a little bit about your story and how you got into art, because it's hard to convince family members that art is something that is worthwhile for your whole time in the first place. Did you have that same problem where you were from of just becoming an artist in the first place?
Actually, my story is pretty different, because in Kenya, art is like a really good hustle, a really nice, honest way of survival. And my parents encouraged me quite a lot, because I started supporting them when I was really young. I could sell my work and support my family. So it was an encouragement to them.
So how did you first, were you little, were you older? How did you first start making art?
I was in primary school, and our primary school was supported by Sisters of Mercy from Ireland. And they used to give us free education. So there we had a really good art teacher who encouraged me to do art. He saw talent in me. And the thing that made me believe was I won a global competition, which was sponsored by the World Food Program, which was giving us free lunch in form of maize and beans. So winning that gave me inspiration to become an artist.
Tell me about the place where you're from.
I'm from the south of Nairobi, in a slum called Mukuru. That's where I call home. It's a big slum with about, the part that I come from is about 30,000 population, and pretty tough conditions to live in. But all in all, we thank God and we bless God for giving us an opportunity to live.
Tell me what some of those conditions are. What makes it challenging?
Basically the poverty conditions. Most families can't afford good jobs, so the kids suffer a lot when growing up. Some don't have food, good education, good housing, and also medical facilities. But all in all, it's a life. Yeah.
And Miranda, tell me a little bit about Seeds of Change.
So Seeds of Change was kind of born out of a service trip my family took with my high school youth group back in 2012. And so we went over and worked on a construction project at a school for the deaf. Certainly fell in love with the people that we met there. And my dad, being a former farm kid, noticed the state of the crops and thought that there had to be something we could do. In the 21st century, people shouldn't be farming and unable to harvest anything to survive off of. And so we came back, and he spoke at a Poet Quarterly meeting about the trip, and there were a lot of team members that were interested. And so the following summer, we sent a group of people over to work at another school. And from there, it kind of snowballed. We started our agricultural efforts as well. And in 2014, we decided, let's just create our own nonprofit to help managing these activities be a little bit easier. So Seeds of Change was officially founded in that year, 2014. And beneath that, we have three major missions. Mission Hope, which is our educational aspect. And so we still work at the School for the Deaf. Actually, that's been really exciting to see that grow. And we support the education of 160 high school age girls as well in another village. Mission Grow is our agricultural initiative, and so far we've worked with about 80,000 farmers and their families in two counties in Kenya, and that's been over the course of about 5 or 6 years, and we're looking into moving into some new parts of Kenya and other parts of the world through that. And then Mission Breathe is our project that is working to distribute biofuel-powered cook stoves in developing countries, right now primarily Haiti and Mozambique. One of the leading causes of death for women and children in developing countries is respiratory issues due to smoke inhalation from cooking with things like wood and charcoal. And so with these biofuel-powered cook stoves, there are no harmful emissions, and it's actually more economical for people as well. And so that's our third project.
So tell me a little bit about how you met Adam and brought him here to South Dakota.
Yeah, it's actually kind of a funny story. So our connection with Adam comes through one of our projects, through Seeds of Change. For Mission Grow, we have boots-on-the-ground people that are working with local farmers on the agricultural education. And so one of those people, his name is David Priest, actually is a friend of Adam's, and he was able to connect us. And through a series of events over about the past year and a half, we were able to get something scheduled and get Adam over here for our show in D.C.
Tell me a little bit about working. Do you work? Are you in education too as an artist? Do you teach children? Tell me about that.
Basically, apart from being an artist who sells my work, I also try to empower my community and give back to my community, which has given me a lot of good things. So I teach a lot of children art and craft as a way of getting them to think creatively, and also try to nurture some of the ones who are talented in art. I started doing that 8 years ago, whereby each year I work with around 120 kids in a quarterly divided program, teaching them some basic art like drawing and shading, painting and craft. And those who have talent or those who are really interested, I bring them into my small studio. We share the space and I try to mentor them. At the moment, I have a group of around 25 boys and girls right now in their teens, and they are like trying to pursue to become artists, and they have their own stories, themes, colors, and trying to tell their stories out there, which is really good. And some of them are starting to show their work in galleries, in group exhibition and stuff like that. And it has been a blessing to them because some of them have also won some global competitions. One of them being a competition sponsored by Toyota, the Japanese car manufacturer. Basically, they have like a world contest for kids to draw their own dream car. And one of my students painted a huge fire engine that had long legs, walking around the slum, putting out fire and fixing burnt houses, which won him a global art contest and won him a trip to Tokyo, Japan.
So asking kids who live in those conditions to draw their dream car brings out some really innovative solutions to what they actually need and how they actually live their lives. Do you create art that stays in the community, like a mural? You know, tell me a little bit more about what interests you in art, what's a good subject for you?
Basically, I try to show the positive side of slum life in my work. I stopped doing pretty things for people to appreciate or people to hang in their houses because I was tired of the stereotype that is being associated with slums, because a coin has two sides. So I flipped the coin and tried to show the other side of how a slum is a community, how peaceful it is, how honest people are, how hardworking they are. In my artwork, there are a lot of these subjects. And we try also to educate people around the slums on issues that affect us. For instance, crime and drug abuse, which is a very big issue around the world. And in slums, it's really out of control. So we paint murals together with my students, which have peace messages, which have messages that fight drug abuse and crime. And basically, these murals work really well because we have pictures and small illustrations. So if somebody can't read, can see the pictures and relate to what we are doing. And, you know, in Kenya, when there are elections, it's always a tense time. So in slums are affected by this situation of elections because people fight, people kill each other. So in my slum, we painted murals of peace messages around it. And this mural brought people together, brought tribes together, and people didn't fight. For the past two elections we've had peace because we painted really nice murals that had peace messages in them, and people embraced them.
So are the children helping with that art? Is that something you're doing?
Yeah. These murals we painted with my students, most of them children, and they are huge, massive walls. Yeah. So basically, we applied for money for to churches and small organizations, and also we contributed some of the money through our own pockets. Like myself, I said before, I like to help my community develop. So anytime I sell my work, a percentage of it goes back to the art club to help children buy materials, give them lunch or stuff that they will need when learning. So we painted huge murals that did a great job to my community, thank God.
And do the students see the result of that and understand that they made a difference with their art? Do they? I mean, it's something you can tell right away. It's not something that you might see the benefit of 20 years from now. They saw the power of art firsthand.
Yes, they. You know, art is a powerful tool, and their expressions. There are kids painting tribes coming together, our cities, our infrastructure, our wildlife, our tourism attraction, showed people that Kenya is a beautiful country. We don't need to fight. We need to come together, work together. Election is just a period. It doesn't matter your political stand. It's a period that will pass, and we need to build Kenya. So with those messages, people were really touched, and even some people were crying seeing the children preaching peace. And the kids could see that their impact was really special, was meaning a lot to the community. And I always tell them to learn lessons from these things they do. And they could see that what they are doing is making a meaningful change. And they now understand that art is a powerful tool that can be used to teach, educate, or inspire people.
Miranda, tell me a little bit about the trip to D.C. and just sort of, you know, some of the fundraising and how people are engaged in, you know, this story in Seeds of Change in Adam's art.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really exciting opportunity. We haven't had an opportunity to raise a lot of awareness out in D.C. We actually, Poet has an office out there as well, and so we were able to get in touch with some people and have them stop by. And we partnered with a law firm out there who hosted us, and so we had a rooftop fundraiser. We strung some lights and hung up Adam's artwork, and it was really beautiful. Senator Thune stopped by. We had a few other people stop by. I think we had 30 pieces, didn't we sell 24 of them? And so it was really great. Adam was there and got to speak and tell his story, got to explain the stories of the pieces individually, and then it was also really great to raise awareness about Seeds of Change and some of the things we're doing as well.
For people who are listening today who didn't hear the rooftop speech, what do you want people in South Dakota to understand about art, about where you're from, about what's next?
First of all, I would love to really thank Seeds of Change and Poet for the good work they are doing for my country and around the world. Having them here, having me here, it's really special. It has always been my dream to come to America, show my work, and thank God I'm living my dream, courtesy of them. Basically, my art shows the other side of life, and that would, I think that inspired people quite a lot. And the other thing is trying to extend a hand of help to others is really important. That's what keeps the world going. Love keeps the world going. And for people in South Dakota, I've met some of them. They're really good, nice people, believers, which is really special. I didn't think I would find a lot of Christians around America, and that's really special because this country was built out of believing in God. Like on the bills, it says, "In God we trust." That's really important. Like for me, I'm really inspired, and the rooftop exhibition was a killer. It was really special. Everybody was astonished, everybody was amazed, and I think the message was sent quite clear, like people could see what Seeds of Change is doing, and I'm also a product of people's goodwill, similar to what Seeds of Change is doing, and having me there was like making me reflect on what I've passed through to come to live my dream, and kind of inspired people, and I hope a lot of people here in South Dakota would be involved in Seeds of Change projects, donate, and help change the world. Yeah.
Miranda, let's just close with information on Seeds of Change. And it's easy to want to help people. It's not easy to effectively, you know, create an organizational structure that actually has meaning and makes a difference in a way that is meaningful for the people that you're trying to connect with. How can people connect with Seeds of Change and learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a social media presence on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. They can find us on all of those platforms. And then we also have a website at seedsofchange.org. And so whether people feel like they want to donate or if they just want to get in touch with us to find out more, they can do both of those through there.
Miranda Broyne is with Seeds of Change. She is the co-founder, and Adam Masava is an artist from Kenya. And we'll put a link up to Seeds of Change on our website. We'll also put a link up to some of your art so people can see the beautiful work that you do. Because on the radio, it's just it's hard to paint that picture that you do so well in person. So Adam, Miranda, thank you so much for being here with us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.